It's a new day. Yes, it is.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Very happy to go to the Ohio Business Machines Hotline and bring in Benjamin Albright from CBS Sports and many, many other places who covers the National Football League. He's known as a rookie quarterback guru or a quarterback prospect guru, also tied in very, very well with the Philadelphia Eagles organization. Benjamin, thanks for taking the time.
Oh, absolutely, guys. Anytime.
And by the way, I'd recommend following him on Twitter as well, at AlbrightNFL, A-L-L-B-R-I-G-H-T. You'll get some very good football takes. You'll get some good real-world takes and some good trash-talking to your detractors, which I always enjoy when you go after them.
Yeah, you got to keep it fun. If you're not keeping social media fun, why do you have it?
Exactly. All right, let's start with Carson Wentz and this organization, because I know you're very plugged into the Philadelphia Eagles. At a time, it appeared Sam Bradford wouldn't be traded. Then he was. Then Chase Daniel bypassed the Carson Wentz. So kind of walk us through how this all came about, from the decision to trade Bradford, which is probably simple. They got a one for him. And then also the decision to go with Wentz, and really who made that call.
Well, the coaching staff and the general manager, they're in sync up there. What happened was the plan was always to get Sam Bradford to start this season for Philadelphia.
Yep.
And then turn around and try to get 2 second-rounders for him after the season. What happened was obviously the injury up there, the horrific injury to Teddy, happened up there in Minnesota. That put them in the market for a quarterback. They started calling around. They asked the Broncos. The Broncos wanted a fourth for Sanchez. They kept calling. And they offered initially a second-rounder alone for Sam Bradford. The Eagles said no. So then, the Eagles front office puts that one away. They say, we're not going to trade him. I mean, everybody has a price tag, but we're not trading him, that kind of thing.
Sure.
Rick Spielman comes back with the first and the fourth offer, and they couldn't say yes fast enough. So that's what got Sam Bradford shipped out of Philadelphia. And obviously that vaulted Carson Wentz to the top there. He's a team favorite. He's a fan favorite. He's a coach's favorite. Beats the coaches in every day for the film study, and that went over really well with Doug Peterson.
And talk about big picture, the satisfaction of moving up to number two, taking Carson Wentz, and then, again, making the move to get Bradford out. And just all in all, big scheme, 17 and 18. Are they satisfied with what they got in return for moving up to get Wentz, of course, with the Cleveland Browns, and then in exchange for Sam Bradford?
Well, yeah, they're very happy with what they got for Bradford. I think that blew everyone away. I certainly know it blew the Eagles front office away. Like I said, they were not expecting an offer that high, and that's what got him moved. As far as the Wentz thing, they're happy. It took them moving a few things to the Dolphins and moving up and then turning around and moving up again. But, honestly, when they look at it, they feel like they got rid of bad contracts, players that weren't going to be at the level they wanted them to, and turned around and moved up for the future of the franchise. So they're very happy about having moved up.
Benjamin, talk with Benjamin Albright here from CBS Sports on the Ohio Business Machines Hotline. What or how have the expectations for this season changed for the Eagles since, at one point they weren't starting Wentz at all, they were going with Bradford, and then now Wentz is going to start and start from day one. How have their kind of season goals or expectations changed, if they have at all?
Well, the front office expectation when Bradford was there was going to be a playoff team. That was kind of the expectation they set for themselves and, groom the people for the future that they're going to groom behind that. Now that he is gone, there's a little bit of a diminished expectation. You see that not only in the front office but across the country. Vegas dropped the line on the opening game there from 7.5 down to 3. That shows their confidence level in the rookie starter, and I get that. Carson Wentz is certainly unseasoned, played at the FCS level. So you're going to lose a little bit of experience, a little bit of that steady hand that you would have from Bradford, but overall they think the future is bright. They're not going to write the season off, but they want to be competitive this season and then look toward the playoffs and build on that next season now.
Sure. All in all, what are your expectations of Carson Wentz? He's played 38 snaps in the preseason. It was lackluster. And then how good or healed is that rib injury? Is he one hit away? And then lastly, what's the type of time frame that they have on Carson Wentz? Is there going to be a quick hook, because they've also paid Chase Daniel to be the guy or the backup there, and now he's been bypassed by Wentz?
Well, Chase is kind of actually a de facto coach. Of course, he was there with Doug Peterson in Kansas City. He's really more there as a de facto quarterback coach to kind of help and give veteran guidance and experience, more so than actually be any kind of starter. Yeah, he's an emergency backup, that kind of thing. But the reality is, if they're starting Chase Daniel, they're in trouble either way. looking at what Carson Wentz's career arc, I would suggest looking at Ben Roethlisberger. You know, it's a big-bodied guy with some athleticism, came out of a lower-tier level in college. Took him a little while to get going, but he had a good defense in his back. And I'm going to tell you right now, Philadelphia Eagles' defense is going to be very good this year. I think people are underestimating it. Jim Schwartz is scheming to those players' strengths, and I think they're going to have an aggressive, good, young defense. Offense is going to take some getting used to. You're going to have some bad outings, some laughable outings, maybe even some Tebow-like stat lines. But, you know, give him time like they did Roethlisberger, he'll turn into a good one.
You really, and I know you really liked him coming out. He fit all your measurables. And just briefly, for those listening, tell people a little bit about your quarterback checklist, and then we'll talk a little bit more about Wentz.
Sure. I have a, you know, from my years in scouting, I've got a bit of a threshold look that I look at for these quarterbacks. And, you know, one of the things I want to make sure is they've got a good enough frame to take NFL punishment. I want to make sure that they've got the right requisite ball velocity to be able to complete passes at the NFL level. And that would be 55 miles an hour on the radar gun at the combine. And then also how old they are when they're drafted. You know, there's a direct correlation between age at draft and how well guys do. There has not been, since Jeff Garcia, a successful quarterback who was 24 or older on draft day in the NFL.
Okay, let's talk about Wentz, though, in particular. What was it about him coming out that you like so much? And how quickly do you think he can be, because you talked about in time he could develop into a Ben Roethlisberger. How quickly can he develop into a guy that can win in the NFL, given that he's playing our Browns, obviously, on Sunday?
Well, I think you need to look at him as maybe a 1 to 2 year project. I think you need to look at next year as really the year that he really grasps this thing, and anything he does sooner is bonus points. You know, I think he's got all the tools and everything. If you look at why I like him, you know, Carson Wentz was a guy who was 5'10", 172 pounds his senior year of high school. You know, he didn't have the size, was completely unrecruited, went to North Dakota State because that was, you know, the local school. And, you know, he blossomed. So he had that chip on his shoulder already. He was already the undersized guy succeeding until he turned into the guy with the size. So he already had that chip on his shoulder. He's a very smart guy. He's had a 4.0 student all the way through his entire academic career, even into college. You know, just a very grounded guy. Likes to get back and relax. Personality reminds you of kind of like a Brett Favre without all the off-field nonsense, you know, in terms of who he is, just a relaxed guy. And he likes to get in there and loves football. He beats the coaches in to watch film every morning by about a half hour.
And Benjamin, if you're the Cleveland Browns defense without seeing much of Carson Wentz, and obviously Doug Peterson being in Kansas City last year with Alex Smith and Jamaal Charles, what is your expectation that the Philadelphia Eagles' offensive game plan looks like with Carson Wentz at quarterback?
I think you're going to see a lot of you know, attempts to use quarterback mobility. You're going to keep it on the ground, keep it conservative. You want to see a lot of quick hitting stuff early, get him into a rhythm. You definitely don't want to set him up for a whole bunch of lengthy developing type stuff, because you know you're going to blitz a young quarterback like that. He's not going to have time to get through those progressions. So you want to get him confident and quick hitters. Look at what the Broncos did with Trevor Siemian last night. A bunch of quick hitters, quick outs, stuff like that, comeback slants. You're going to see a lot of that from the Philadelphia offense.
And this Philadelphia defense, I think, is one of the reasons that they probably feel as confident as they do rolling Carson Wentz out there so early in his career. Talk about the move to the 4-3 with Jim Schwartz, how that fits their personnel, and how good do you think this defense can be?
I think it's very good. I think they could be a top 10 defense this year. You're going to see a lot of blitzing, a lot of attacking. Now, I don't know if you've ever asked a defensive coordinator in history if they said they were going to be less of an attacking defense, but, you know, they're going to be a defense that really gets after the quarterback. You're going to see a lot of, you know, a lot of blitzes, a lot of double A-gap stuff. I really like the attitude Schwartz has got. We're not sitting back and reacting. We're going after and we're dictating to the offense. I think players have responded to that. Of course, they got Fletcher Cox there, so that's a big boon as well.
All right, final one, which I guess is the big one. How do you see things going down on Sunday?
You know, I saw my own show earlier. I went ahead and predicted a Philly win. I know your fans aren't going to be happy with that, but
okay.
I don't think this is the year for the Browns. I think the Browns are going to be very entertaining on offense, but they're building something there. You're putting the foundation, and while that may not be successful this year, it will be soon, and I'm going to enjoy watching that offense go to work this year.
We certainly will as well, especially when Josh Gordon comes back in week number 5. Benjamin, always a pleasure, and hopefully we'll do it again soon and just kind of assess where everything is in the National Football League.
Absolutely, guys. Take care.
All right, Benjamin Albright from CBS at Albright NFL on Twitter. When we come back, we'll be joined by Dakia We'll take your phone calls as well, 216-578-0850, as we get ready for the Browns season opener, the Browns and the Eagles this Sunday in Philadelphia.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Well, welcome back to CBD. Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm, and the Kid. What's up, the Kid?
I'm doing well on this glorious afternoon in Cleveland. I'm sitting in the Metro Parks, believe it or not. You got to be home for bus duty, so it's a nice spot to be doing the show from.
It is a nice spot indeed. Last night, also glorious, the return of football. Your impressions of the first game, an exciting one of the 2016 NFL season.
My impression is, and this is one, I got lots of hot takes today, so I'm just going to throw out one right off rip. My impression is that Cam Newton is now the best football player in the NFL. I know they lost the game, but I just really felt like watching that game, he's come so far as a passer. His power running is a weapon. He's the best power runner probably in the NFL. If he can continue to take those hits and stay healthy, which, by the way, he's like LeBron. He doesn't get the same calls because he's so big and strong. But I really think he's the best player in the NFL. That's my takeaway.
I don't disagree with that at all. I think that he is a guy that showed so much in terms of his ability to not only be a difference maker running it with his arm and to lead them down and put them in a position to win. Timeouts were not used, I would say, judiciously throughout that game on their side of the football.
Not at all.
He took a ton of punishment and is a weapon unlike really anybody that we have seen.
I mean, I know Riverboat Ron is Matt's one of his biggest fans, but I think he's one of those guys that needs to hire somebody to manage the clock.
Yeah, Riverboat Ron, it's interesting. He is one of your boys there, Matt. But Riverboat Ron was a guy that looked, at times when the sideline camera would zoom in on him, looked befuddled. Or I don't even know what his look was. I don't know if it was befuddled, if he was angry. I don't know exactly what it was.
It was a strange stare. And I think, you know, Ron lets his coaches coach. That's the one thing. I think they have an assistant head coach. They've got Sean McDermott on the defensive side. I think, Rob Chudzinski is the offensive coordinator. Or who's the offensive coordinator there in Carolina?
Chud is in Indy.
Chud's in Indy.
No, it's not Chud. It's why can't I think of his name right now? He's the son.
I'm drawing a blank too. Well, anyway, he lets his coaches coach, and I think
he called a great game last night. His name was
right? But I mean, in all scenarios, the misuse of the timeouts didn't fall on the head football coach,
Mike Shula. I knew it was
yes,
Mike Shula.
Correct, Mike yes. Shula. They didn't fall on Ron himself. It was the offense and their inability to get a play in or a play called after a penalty, after some type of review, and they just had to waste those timeouts.
Yes, they did end up getting a little wasteful. All right, the Kid, Browns and Eagles, let's start right there. And at the bottom of the hour, we'll kind of go through all the games. Let's start with the Browns and the Eagles right there. What did you think of this game on Sunday?
Well, let me stop right there. Matt and I don't remember who, if it's just me or if it's me and Matt both, we still got to pay you that dinner before you start even picking these games.
Yes.
So we got to pick a date.
I had the Broncos last night.
Why don't we just go? Why don't we just
don't we
go
pick
like
a Thursday night after your coach's show or something one night?
That's a good idea. I could do that.
Does that fit the Westlake High School football schedule, Will?
Yes, it does.
Thursday night?
It does.
All right, so let's take a Thursday night and we'll go. I can get downtown in probably 15 minutes. Is that a central location for everybody?
Sure.
Downtown? So why don't we do that and go watch it at, maybe we'll get like a table at the bar at Red.
Sounds like a plan to me. Okay. You're the victor goes to spoil.
We got to make sure Gibbs can make it.
Gibbs will be here with me. He should be able to make
it. Okay.
All right. So we're tentatively putting this on the books for next Thursday. Is that what we're doing?
How about a Thursday?
A Thursday. All right.
In the next 3 to 4 weeks.
Okay. But before Halloween.
Correct. Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
Or it doubles.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. But let's just kind of just overall, what's your take? Forget the game. We got a call earlier today saying that Sashi seems very conceited and when he's trying to block out the noise.
I was not to step on you there, but I was ready to come through the radio. That was ridiculous. That guy can do us all a favor and turn on TBS or something, because That was ridiculous. He didn't even listen to the question. And then you gave a logical explanation, and it was like one of those guys that wanted to be right instead of getting the facts correct. He just wanted to be right, and even though you gave a perfectly logical explanation and it completely killed his point, he still was sticking to his point. I mean, ridiculous. I love where the Browns are at, and Sashi is the right guy to guide the ship. It's going to be a painful year, though. Let's make no mistake about it. The defense is not good. Hopefully we'll get better. But right now, you know, we got to be looking to win shootouts. I heard you saying earlier the defense has to win us this game, and maybe they could win it because it's a rookie quarterback. But does Philadelphia have such a good defense that they're going to be able to shut down our, you know, greatest show on turf?
What my point with was that is that when you go against a quarterback with as little experience as Carson Wentz is going to have, it is incumbent on the defense to make an impact in the game. Now, the Carolina Panthers defense produced 3 turnovers yesterday. It's interesting because you said you came out of there, Cam Newton's the best player in the league, but their defense produced 3 turnovers, got 2 of them from that young quarterback, another one from a young running back, but it wasn't enough. So you need to be able to do it on both sides, but I think the Browns need to keep them under 20 points to win this game.
Yeah, well, I personally think that Philadelphia is terrible. I think that Philadelphia's coaching hire is going to be the worst coaching hire since Mike Patton. I don't understand how Peterson, like, I don't think that guy's going to be a coach. To me, he does not inspire me as a leader.
Do you think there's some familiarity, though, with the success Andy Reid had in Philadelphia with Howie Roseman, and then Peterson was kind of Andy Reid's right-hand man in Kansas City? That's kind of what they're looking at it for?
That's kind of what they're looking at, but remember what happened the second time Joe Gibbs went back to Washington? Trying to recreate something, it's a dangerous game. I think they're going to stink, and we're going to laugh when we have a top 3 pick because of that.
Well, I think if they were playing Sam Bradford, you don't know what it's going to be. Look at Sashi Brown strolling through here saying, you know, he's looking and saying right now, where's the kid? It's Friday. He said he was going to be here.
Bring him in. Let's go.
He walked by. He declined our invite. So one of the things, that we'll get to the games in a second, this is something that I find to be a little bit interesting, and this is in an NFL.com article. Carl Nassib was quoted as saying, about Carson Wentz, he's a dual threat, but I heard he's a little banged up right now, so I doubt he'll be running the ball very much, is what Nassib said. He also said he can run, he has good mobility, he's got a good arm. His release is a little slow, so we plan to take advantage of that. Ideal for a rookie who has not played a snap in the NFL to be talking about the release of the opposing team's starting quarterback prior to game 1 of the National Football League season?
It's a little out there, but I'll be very honest, I think Carl Nassib didn't come up with all those things himself. That must be something that's reverberating throughout the defensive meeting room. You know, what Ray Horton has seen on film, you know, what Coach Nunn has seen on film, and they're making it very evident and blatant to these guys to take advantage of some of Carson Wentz's shortcomings. And then it comes out, it's like when you're so engulfed in your game plan and you're so confident in what you do, you start to look at the other team, not at what they can do to hurt us, but how we can hurt them. And what's the detriment of Carson Wentz as a rookie quarterback? Let's take that and use that as to our advantage.
And that's what they're certainly going to try to do.
I think he'll learn as he goes along not to say those things, the same way I think Paul D. Podesta will learn not to say what he said. I agree with everything both of them said, but sometimes things are better left behind closed doors. But I do like the fact that the message is, like Matt said, the message is getting through to Carl Nassib, and I like that he's that focused and he's that detail-oriented. And you know, that's one guy I'm real high on. If he has, you know, if him and Ogba can be the staples of that defensive line moving forward, you know, let's check off 2 things we don't have to draft next year.
Absolutely. By the way, Fontan, do we have a caller on hold?
No, we're good.
We're good? No, but nobody's on hold? Oh, I was told. Steve Goodman said he was on hold to join you and tell a Jacuzzi Ricky story after drafting in the Jacuzzi Fantasy Football League the other day. By the way, give everybody an update on Bo Jackson.
Bo Jackson is simply spectacular. Nobody that has met him has not thought he's the number one ranked dog they've seen this year, and I think that's a fact. He's tremendous. The training is training. As anybody that knows with the dog, it takes some time. It's taken most of my free time up these days.
Yes, it is definitely taking up your free time, cutting into your golf activity as well there. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, the kids' hot takes are out, but now it's time for the hot picks We are going to pick the games, the winners, just winners. It's all we did last year is just winners. This is an NFL show. We don't know about those other things in the kids' mythical window. This is just about the winners in the games. We're going to make those picks when we return on CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Skirt, Matt Wilhelm, the kid. It's going to be time to pick the games momentarily. But before we do that, let's go to the hotline and bring in Steve Goodman, a.k.a. Goody. Goody, welcome.
What's up, fam?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Not too much, brother. I just had a quick Jacuzzi Ricky story from last night.
Okay.
Sitting there in the softball playoffs. I don't know who took a bigger beating last night, Cam Newton or Jacuzzi. We're in the third game. You know, you play best out of three over in the Premier League. And we're in the third inning, battling back and forth. All of a sudden, I look up. Jacuzzi Ricky takes a ball to the chest, pitching.
Oh, no. Like a line drive?
Line drive. And, you know, in the Premier League, these dudes are huge. So this ball gets
you
want to
mention again that it's the Premier League?
We did. We got bumped up. Terrible idea.
So is he okay?
Thank goodness. I mean, I hope so. He's got a welt the size of, you know, probably Tennessee sitting on his chest.
The kid, did you know about this? Is the co-owner of the Scarlet and Maze franchise in the Jacuzzi Fantasy Football League? Did you know about Jacuzzi Ricky's ailment?
I did not know about it, but I can happily say I spoke to him earlier and he didn't even mention it, so I imagine he's recovering.
Okay, was he more focused on trades?
Had a little bit of business to discuss. He's Richie's in the real estate business, so we had some business to discuss.
Gotcha.
Well, but he didn't mention it, so I got to imagine he's good.
By the way, Goody, we want to appreciate you calling up and also for, you know, guest drafting there for Berkey in the Jacuzzi Fantasy Football League.
I did. You know, it's when you're stuck with that kind of start. I mean, I did the best I could to build around what was not too great of a beginning. So
I mean, that sounds like such a cop-out. I mean, that doesn't sound like a guy that was happy with his performance, does it, Wilhelm?
No, it does not.
However, you got Calvin Benjamin who went off last night.
And so the guru starts to prove his colors.
Oh, there it is, claiming victory. Less one game into the 2016 NFL season. I like that. I like your style. Goody, appreciate the call and the Jacuzzi Ricky update, my brother.
Much love, guys. Be good.
All right. All right, fellas. Here it is. We're going to add them up like we did last year. I made that great comeback. At one point, I was down like an insane amount.
Yeah, we know. Let's get to the picks. We know about the come.
I will relive my glory until you pay the price. Thank you very little. And we begin. The Buffalo Bills at the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens, 3-point favorites over the Bills.
You know, not just because his last name is Harbaugh, but he's a hell of a football coach. And they got beaten up a lot by injuries last year. And I think Rex Ryan is on his way out. I'm going Baltimore.
Bills.
Matt Wilhelm with the Buffalo Bills. It's when I went and looked at what the game was, my immediate reaction was that I thought Buffalo would be favored in the game. Baltimore coming back off all the turmoil. The fact that they're 3-point favorite means to me they're asking you to bet on Baltimore if you were looking at it from that standpoint. So I believe the Baltimore Ravens will – I mean, they're asking you to bet on Buffalo getting the 3. I believe the Ravens win at home. Tampa Bay at Atlanta. Atlanta, 2.5-point favorites.
I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Falcons.
Matt Wilhelm, Falcons. I also will go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Interesting start. Wilhelm could be 2 up or 2 down. Cincinnati at the Jets. The Cincinnati Bengals, 2.5-point favorites on the road in what I think is one of the stranger lines of the week.
I'm going to say the New York football Jets.
I'm going to take the Jets as well.
The kid's going to take the Jets. Wilhelm's going to take the Jets. I'm going to take the Cincinnati Bengals. Why are they favored in this game, the kid?
It's interesting. It's an interesting line. You know, now that you mention it like that, but I'm not switching now, but that is an interesting point.
Oakland at New Orleans. The Saints, 1.5-point favorites at home. Not Drew Brees, not even a field goal favorite at home against the Oakland Raiders.
I'm going to have to go the old Oakland Raiders. What a bad boys.
Saints home.
Drew Brees. I'm going Drew Brees and the Saints at home as well. Although that one probably belies what I would think from in terms of the spread not making sense. Houston at home against the Chicago Bears. We might have our first consensus here.
Houston.
6-point favorites, the Houston Texans.
Houston.
Jacksonville at home against the Green Bay Packers. The Jags, everybody's darling team this year, 4.5-point home dogs.
Green Bay. Give me Green Bay.
Green Bay.
Okay. Even with, you think there's some tumult, some turmoil around Aaron Rodgers, sitting is gone, you don't care.
Why is there tumult around Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers, didn't you hear his brother? His brother on The Bachelorette was calling him out.
Oh, stop with that Bachelor nonsense. There's no tumult around him.
My sources tell me there's tumult around Aaron Rodgers. You'll notice he didn't end up on my fantasy football team, although I hope that tumult leads to him finding solace by throwing the football into the hands of one, Jordy Nelson. I'm going to take the Green Bay Packers as well. Tumult, schmumult. Let's go Minnesota at Tennessee. We don't know who's starting at quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings.
Minnesota.
The Titans, 2.5-point home dogs.
Minnesota.
A clean sweep. I'm going to say the tumult is too much. The loss of Theodore, the heart hangs heavy. The Titans shock the world. San Diego at Kansas City. The Chiefs, 6.5-point favorites.
KC.
Oh, wow. No San Diego Superchargers for you, man.
No Bosa. Go KC.
Miami at Seattle. Biggest spread of the week. 10.5-point favorites, the Seahawks.
All right, Max.
Hawks.
The New York Giants at Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys, 1-point favorites at home.
I'm going to say the New York Giants. I don't think home field really historically means much in that rivalry.
That's exactly what I was going to say, kid. I'm going to go with the New York Giants.
Me too. I think that they have a pretty darn good
revamped defense.
I like the Giants this year. Detroit at Indianapolis, the Colts 3-point favorites at home.
I'm all in on the Andrew Luck train, so give me the Colts.
I'll take the Colts.
I'm going to take the Lions. The Colts are without their top three cornerbacks in this game. Now, I know there's no Calvin Johnson, but Matt Stafford can still throw the ball.
Golden Tate's a good player.
Marvin Jones is there. I think over under is 51 in that game. I believe that's the highest of the week. No, 52 for Oakland and New Orleans, but no corners, no dice. New England at Arizona. The Cardinals, 6.5-point favorites. Has Bill Belichick laid that many points ever?
Probably. And don't forget he coached in Cleveland.
All right.
Maybe for the first time in history of the show, I will pick against New England and take Arizona.
Arizona.
Me too. Bill Belichick, not feeling the respect. I will say, kid, let's talk about the Patriots for a second here. Everybody's focusing on Garoppolo. I think their defense is more of a question than people might realize. I think losing Chandler Jones is going to be a big loss for them.
And Ninkovich, four-game suspension,
Ninkovich
too.
Is suspended.
I'm not worried about the defense as much, and I'll tell you where I'm worried about is the offensive line. Their offensive line is a mess, and they got the Dante, whatever his name is, back as the coach, which is good, but their offensive line is 100% a complete mess.
100% a complete mess as a kid. All right, let's go to Monday night, 7:10 kick. Pittsburgh at the Redskins. Kirk Cousins, a playoff team, but he's given three. He's catching three at home. 3-point home dog against the Steelers.
I'm going to say that Pittsburgh's going to win.
Steelers.
All right.
I was almost going to take the Redskins.
I was. No Le'Veon Bell.
And that's it. Stop your conversation right there. No Le'Veon Bell.
No Marcus Wheaton, apparently.
Marcus Wheaton not playing this week?
No, Sammy Coates, though, in line for a big game.
Oh, I should have pulled the trigger.
I'm going to take the Washington Redskins, and when they win, I'm going to say, you like that kid. Rams.
I think that guy's a clown.
Rams at the 49ers, Rams, 2.5-point
favorites.
Battle
of the bad.
Remember the last year, week one, in this very game, the Niners at home against Theodore Bridgewater and the Vikings, and the Niners blitzed them.
I mean, you know that I think Jeff Fisher should be coaching in high school, not the NFL, but it's so hard to pick a defense that's coordinated by Jim O'Neill, so I'm going to go with the Rams.
There has been plenty Cleveland Brown pokes in there today, kid.
Jeez,
kid.
The flamethrower, the kid.
I'm going to go with... I almost wanted to go Niners until he brought up J.O., and I'm not going to name names. Okay, I'm going to go with Todd Gurley and the Los Angeles Rams.
It's a sweep, baby. Let's go, Rams.
Can I just give you one quick story that I saw on Twitter from our old friend Kevin Jones?
I would love it.
Jim O'Neill said in a press conference that he watches Hard Knocks to learn for the game. And then Kevin Jones wrote an article saying that the Browns used to do that under Mike Pett. Do you think that Bill Belichick is watching film or he's watching Hard Knocks?
Film.
Film, but I do think that there are things that you could perhaps, if you are really scouring it, that you could get out of Hard Knocks when they're in the meeting rooms, that there's things that are written on the whiteboard that maybe they weren't as judicious with or something like that. At the end of the day, though, I don't think that there's going to be much given away from that because even in the all or nothing, the teams are approving what's going on.
But here's what happens is if you beat that team, you then say, oh, it goes back to that thing that we got off the whiteboard and that play that we stopped and whatever. And when you lose, you never saw that whiteboard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's right. One of those situations.
Yeah.
All right. Final game. The Cleveland Browns. This game, by the way, kid, has gone from 7.5 down to 3 now. Browns, Eagles.
When were the Browns a 7.5-point dog?
Prior to the season.
Well, yeah, prior to Bradford, for them trading out an average quarterback for a guy that played not even a half of a preseason game. I mean, the Browns should be favored by 7 now.
So you're taking the Browns?
Not only am I taking the Browns, I don't know how many opportunities I'm going to have in the first half of the season. So I'm going with the kid guarantee.
The guarantee is out! Oh, my God! Oh my God! And remind everybody that last year I'm pretty sure the guarantee was like 3-1 on the year.
3-1.
I don't think there was a one, my friend. I think it was 2-0.
There was a late season.
There was
the guarantee.
Late season to guarantee.
What? You guys are breaking up. I can't hear you. I think it was undefeated.
It has happened. The guarantee is out. My goodness, I'm taking the Browns too. Carson Wentz is not coming in and beating us.
No.
Not happening.
I'm taking the Browns. Make it unanimous. 23-20 Browns.
The first, the guarantee of the Hugh Jackson era in week one. The kid. I love it.
I was eating flames this morning, my friend.
You're eating flames. The kid, what's your prediction for the score in this one?
I'm going to have to say 27-17.
27-17.
That's a blowout in the NFL.
They've got to hold them under 20 to win, and I believe they will. The kid, I'm like giddy right now. I don't even know what to make of it. The guarantee right out of the gate.
Got to do it when the shoe fits, you wear it.
All right, the kid, do you have any parting shots for the audience?
I think I just gave a pretty good parting shot. I don't think I could top that.
I don't think you can either. Everybody's excited now. Cleveland is abuzz. The office, you should see people are running around like chickens with their heads cut off in celebration.
Now Sasi wants to come in the radio. Now he's ready. If he's listening in his office, he's ready, sprinting to the studio right now.
He is sprinting, but unfortunately we are going to have to take a break before he gets here. The new renovations, it's a longer distance between his office and the studio. The kid, always a pleasure.
My pleasure.
Next week, are we getting you in studio, the kid?
I'll see what I could do.
Who do the Blue have tomorrow?
The Blue have University of Central Florida.
Yikes.
Who do the Buckeyes have?
Tulsa.
Another yikes. Yeah. I mean, there's
not a single game between ranked opponents this weekend.
Didn't glean much from our game line. It's always nice to win 63-3, but it's hard to see if you're any good against teams like that.
The kid, the guarantee. I am juiced. Did you go to sleep knowing that you were bringing that out?
You think I plan things that far in advance? You're crazy.
The only thing you plan in advance is golf.
Yes.
Yes.
And cleaning up Bo Jackson's you-know-what.
and Bo Jackson. The legendary Bo Jackson. Well, so Wilhelm, you know how I happen to have some jerseys. I have like I have some jerseys in my house.
Do you wear a shirt underneath those jerseys?
I was not wearing a shirt under this particular jersey, okay. But I wore. If guess what jersey I wore when the kid came over for the jacuzzi draft, and he brought his dog with him.
Bo Jackson.
An Oakland Raiders 34 silver and black Bo Jackson.
My mother-in-law loved that. She was giddy when she saw that picture.
You got to send me those pictures.
I didn't send it to you?
No, you never sent it to me.
All right, I'll send it to you.
Bo Jackson, a fine man. Do you know that they got a – when you come in here next time, there's an office dog now, the kid. Moose, who roams the Browns' offices.
I think I hear Bo Jackson. I had just pulled in the garage. I didn't realize he understood the garage opening, but now he's yelping up a storm.
He's fired up. I love it.
Yeah.
Let's go. All right, the kid.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
All right. Indeed. When we come back, final thoughts, last chance. Call your shot. We've called ours, and we got the guarantee. Giddy up, Browns fans.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. We've got it right now. The guarantee is in. Browns, Eagles. I mean, you got to feel pretty good about that, Matt Wilhelm.
3-1.
3-0. I'm sorry, you're breaking up. Also tonight, speaking of going 3-0, the Westlake Demons looking to do that. What's on tap tonight?
We are. We have our home opener as we went on the road the first 2 weeks and came out victorious late in these football games. We play Avon Lake, so a bordering city in the Southwest Conference. It's going to be a battle, and just really trying to right a lot of the wrongs that have happened because Westlake's program's been down, and Avon Lake always has a great program. So a great game tonight, and I'm excited. You know, my family's coming. Some of the other families are coming, you know, knowing the game's right in our backyard, so it's going to be exciting.
Let's go.
3-0.
Are you given a de-guarantee?
I do not de-guarantee anything.
You don't de-guarantee anything. Well,
if I were the head coach.
The key, I think, for me, obviously, for the Westlake Demons, handle their business, get to 3-0. The key for the Browns, stop the run, win the turnover battle, and keep the Eagles under 20 points. If they do that, I think they do have a good chance to go out there and get the first victory in the first game, which is something it has been far too long since it's happened for the Browns.
Yeah, even furthermore, I'm going to take a different stance than you because, you know, you stated something, you know, very obvious. I'm going to put this football game on the quarterbacks. Our ability to protect RG3 and to allow him to go through his reads and get rid of the football at the pace that he wants to get rid of the football, which happens to be the pace that Hugh Jackson wants the football to be delivered. I'm going to put it on RG3 to do so, take his shots down the field, be judicious, and take what's there at times, which we've seen both sides of the spectrum in the preseason, which is a very good sign. And then also, it's on Carson Wentz. It's our ability defensively to disguise coverages, to be very, very good in some coverages, even if it's very evident what we're playing. Let's be better than they are. And then it comes down to our front five and even, you know, front six or seven at times to get pressure on him. And it's going to be different fronts, 4-3, 3-4. I think 3-4, as you've pointed out time and time again, he's seen a 4-3 defense before, has not seen a 3-4 defense. So bring about some of the chaos that I talked about early in the game that Denver can bring. They've got the playmakers. They've got bullets in the gun. We've got young playmakers, Ogba and Nassib and Schobert and Orchard, Kirksey and Davis on that middle dog cross.
Let's go. It is time this Sunday. The Browns looking to get their first win in a season opener in 12 years. They've lost 11 straight. No better time than to kick one off with the Hugh World Order. Last head coach of the Browns to win a season opener was Butch Davis back in 2004, and they beat the Ravens 20-3. That is the quote we're not going to have to hear after this Sunday when the Browns go to Philly and take care of business to kick off the Hugh World Order. Thanks for being with us. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. Thanks to Benjamin Albright of CBS for joining us. Our producer, Matt Fontana.
Jason
of course,
Gibbs.
Jason Gibbs, the great Jason Gibbs. And Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura, saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
On ESPN 850, WKNR, and go Browns.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.